Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find Exodus chapter 2? Exodus chapter 2 will start in verse 1, and it may assist you to find this piece of paper, Learning God's Lessons for Parents from Moses' Mom. From Moses' Mom. Mary Ruth and I started the adventure of parenting on April 1st, 1982. That's 37 years ago. Jason emerged on April Fool's Day. And I became a dad, she became a mother, he became our experiment. And it's an adventure to raise a child. But I can tell you it's been a marvelous adventure, and yet it's a daunting task. Since Jason was born on April Fool's Day, we didn't want to be foolish parents. We wanted to be wise parents. And the way that you are a wise parent, a wise person, is when you go God's way, the Jesus way. So that's why I want us to learn today God's lessons on parenting. And they come through us through Moses' Mom. Now, Moses is worldwide famous. Yet, do you know the name of his mother? Some of you do, most of you don't. The name of his mother was Jochebed. Say that, Jochebed. Now you learn something. So here is the mother of Moses, Jochebed, and she does this extraordinary job of parenting because she helps her son become God's liberating champion. Now let me state the obvious. Now many of us are not only parents, but we are mentors. We cannot impact the past. It's gone. But we certainly can impact the future by the decisions that we make and the lives that we lead. I heard it put like this: we can leave an inheritance, which is what you leave to someone, but we can also leave a legacy, which is what you leave in someone. So let me ask you this: what kind of legacy are you leaving to the people around you? You see, we're called to be mentors, mentors to our children, but also mentors to other people. As a matter of fact, when you are a mentor to a young person in Sunday school, or RAs or GAs or in our music programs, you're making a difference. We had Senior Sunday last week, and there was a young man who crossed the stage, and he went home and he posted this on Facebook. Listen to this from Michael. Today at church, we had Senior Sunday, and it was honestly one of the most bittersweet moments in my life. For the past 6 years, First Baptist has invested in me in ways that I am forever grateful. From being a confused little kid, and this young man came one night for Team Impact. That's when the big guys break stuff, and we got people saved. So he said, I came as a confused little kid to a suicidal wreck, to a follower of Jesus Christ. I am forever blessed to have the experience of the love and compassion of Christ that comes through my church. I want to thank every leader in our church. You have all impacted me greatly. I thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for showing me who Christ is and how to teach others about our Father. I am excited to continue to be part of First Baptist Ministry to college students. You see, friends, we are all mentoring. It may be mentoring within our family circles to children, or mentoring the people that we come into contact with, but we're all mentoring, and we're leaving something in the people that we encounter. So what will that be? Here's the goal, fill in the blank. You see, the parent's greatest goal, a mentor's greatest goal, is passing on your faith in Christ. Nothing else compares. Nothing else tops this. And certainly that's what Moses' parents did. Jochebed and Amram, they even made the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. They were in the Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame. Look what it says on your worksheet. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. You see, these were courageous parents that helped Moses come to be a world-changing man of faith. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the hall of shame. I want to be in God's hall of fame. And I want to show you how that can happen as we dive into Moses' story here in Exodus 2. Let's start in verse 1. Now, a man from the house of Levi, who was Amram, went and married a daughter of Levi, who was Jochebed. The woman conceived, and she bore a son. And when she saw he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she put him in a basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Now pause for a moment. If any of you are feeling that you're in a hard spot emotionally, just remember, Moses started out as a basket case. A little Bible humor. I don't know, I just really like that. So she put the child in the basket and she set him among the reeds on the Nile River. And his sister Miriam stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens, walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maids, and she brought it to her. When she opened it up, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. She had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away, and you nurse him. You raise him for a while, and I'll even pay you. I'll give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses and said, "I have drawn him out of the water." Let's pray for just a moment. Dear Father, we stand on sacred ground. May we come to full spiritual attention, because like Moses' parents, we want to make your hall of fame, not the world's hall of shame. So help us, Father. Receive the deposits of truth that your Spirit will drop into every receptive heart, that we might be agents of your mentoring and transformation. We pray for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's God's recipe and resource for raising champions. Let's begin with number one, parental compassion. That's what we see in the first two verses. You see, you think we live in hard times? How would you like to live in a day when you're a slave? And not only are you a slave, but it is declared to be a government edict that if you have a son, you must execute him. Now, those are unbelievably hard times. So Moses' parents were faced with a difficult decision. Would they obey the government or God? And they decided to go with God. And they saved their baby's life. It was an act of compassion. Now, it was risky. Number one, any mother risks her life to bring a child into this world. I mean, if a mom gave you life, she risked her life. So you need to be very appreciative of your mother. Several years ago, it was 1994, it was April, my precious sister-in-law, Marion Simmons, was giving birth to her first child. 4 years earlier, I had done her wedding in Jackson, Tennessee, and everything looked perfect. And yet when the baby was born, she had an amniotic embolism. And within a few hours, our precious Marion died. Will miraculously survived. He's 25 years old now. But that experience disabused me of the idea that having a baby in these days and times is simple, downhill and shady, and without risk. That is not true. So if a mother birthed you, she risked her life to give you life, and you owe her a great debt of gratitude. Well, not only did Jochebed risk her life to give Moses life, she risked her life in defiance of the government who decreed that any baby boy must die. She didn't buy it. She wouldn't go along with it. She went against the government to obey God. So here's what she did. She took care of that baby. She somehow realized that in Moses she had a giant in diapers, because every child has that same potential to be a world changer. Did she know that Moses would be the anointed liberator? Did she know that Moses would be a healer and a miracle worker? Did she know that Moses would write the Ten Commandments in the Scripture? Did she know that this man would be such a monumental spiritual leader that in Luke chapter 9 it's recorded that Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration met with Moses and Elijah? So I submit to you that indeed Jochebed was raising a giant in diapers. But not every parent understands that. I'll give you a biblical example. Jesse didn't get it. If you go over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, you find the story of this man named Jesse. Now, Jesse had a really famous son, and his name was David. Now, Jesse had seven other sons. And the prophet Samuel had been given the interesting assignment, because of Saul's disobedience, to go and find a new king and anoint him. So he was told to go to the house of Jesse. And he says, Jesse, I need to see your sons because one of your sons will be the next king of Israel. Jesse was astonished. So he brings out seven of his eight sons. And so I can just imagine this, that Samuel took his flask of anointing oil, opened it up, and here comes Aminadab. And he stands before the great prophet Samuel, and Samuel raises the horn of oil over him, but nothing comes out. It's like it stopped up. Well, here comes Eliab, that strong, handsome, courageous young Hebrew hunk, and he holds up the oil flask and nothing comes out. Happens five other times. Samuel is puzzled. He says, Jesse, do you have any other sons? He said, yeah, I've got my youngest son, David, but you know, honestly, Sam, he's not king material. I mean, all he does is watch the sheep, play his harps, and he takes his sling and he throws a rock at everything. I mean, this guy, he is not king material. He's my youngest guy. He said, go get him. They bring little David in. He opens the flask and the anointing oil gushes over David. You see, we look at outside, God looks at the inside. Jesse didn't understand that he was raising a king who would be a giant slaying man, a history-making man, a scripture-writing man, a man whose lineage would yield to us none other than King Jesus, the Messiah and Redeemer of humanity. And somehow Jesse missed that he was raising this giant for God. Friends, if you've been given the privilege of mentoring a child, understand that your child has vast potential and you should bless them. The ultimate example is what happened to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus was baptized. And then at the end of his baptism, what happened? This thunderous voice, the voice of God, crowned the occasion. And God said, "This is my beloved Son that was baptized, in whom I am well pleased." You see, God conveyed a blessing to the potential of his Son, and we should do the same to our children and all those people around us. Friends, remember this, folks cannot read your thoughts. So bless the people around you with the very blessing and anointing of God. Bless their potential. Number two, let's go from parental compassion to parental provision. We learn in verse 3 and 4 that they provided everything Moses needed. That's what parents do. They provide protection, food, clothing, health care. They provide basic instruction and discipline. They provide our environment for learning and growth. As a matter of fact, Amram and Jochebed knew they had very little time. So they had to turn their home into this learning lab about the Lord, because they only had a small space of time to pour God's truth into the little head of Moses and the little heart of Moses, because soon he would go to Pharaoh's court and they would reprogram him or try to reprogram him with the paganism of the world. So, job on. Look what it says on your worksheet in Deuteronomy. This is what Moses experienced and what he prescribed. He says, "These commandments I give you today, they are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. In other words, make your home a learning lab about the Lord. That's what Mary Ruth and I tried to do as we were raising our children. We would do this unique thing. We had meals together. Have y'all heard about that? We actually like sat down at a table and we would eat together. Instead of everybody going to their room or at a fast food joint, we would sit and eat together. Not every night, we weren't perfect, but we would try to eat together, and then we would pray together. And everybody would talk and tell about their day, and we would create cohesion and connection, and we would always lift up the Lord. But my favorite time of day at our house is when Mary Ruth and I would go back and pray for the children. Oh, it was so sweet. We would pray for them, and I would tell them Jesus stories. And then we would invite them to voice their prayer to God, teaching them how to pray. And old Jason, he would pray a sweet prayer. And here would be Sarah, she would pray. And Mary Austin, she was kind of like Mother Teresa. She would just pray the heavens down. She was always really tuned into the Lord. And then Alex, she would refuse to pray. And so we would have to pull it out of her. But we finally got her to catch on, I'm telling you. But all those kids are different. I mean, came from the same womb, but they're all so different, aren't they? And yet, what do they have in common? Their deep need for the Lord. And so we poured the Jesus stories into them. And then we taught them. Always remember what Spurgeon said about evangelism. Before a child reaches 7, teach them well the way to heaven. You see, that tender heart naturally gravitates to the Lord and His love. We all know we're sinners in need of a Savior. So parents, it is your holy privilege and responsibility to lead your child to Christ. Do not let somebody else steal that privilege from you. You tell your child about Jesus with your lips and with your life. Now, you can't give what you don't have. So you check your heart and you be sure that you've got Jesus. And then you give Jesus to your child. And don't delay. I'm talking about do it today, because we don't know how much time we have. And this time runs so fast. The years have wings, friends. They're little one moment, they're gone the next. When I was a kid, there was an old Kodak commercial that always brought tears to my eyes. It was called Turn Around. It said it like this: where are you going, my little girl, my little girl? Turn around, you are tiny. Turn around, you are grown. Turn around and you are a young wife with babies of your own. That's my Sarah at age 3. That's her today at age 33, holding her own youngest child, Silas. But in my mind, it was just a moment ago that I was embracing her and praying with her and teaching her. Friends, the years have wings. Don't waste these precious days. Use them for the Lord. Number 3, parental instruction is next and last. If you want to make God's Hall of Fame and not the world's Hall of Shame, then bring parental instruction. You see, Jochebed and Amram conveyed their core values and beliefs to little Moses. They told him, you don't belong to Pharaoh. You belong to the child. You are a child of the Most High God, and you are designed to fulfill His purpose. Moses, you've got a divine destiny, and there's a divine destination for your life. You will fulfill it. So they poured God's truth into his head, into his heart, and of course, Moses prevailed. He became this great leader for the Lord. Now, as we complete these thoughts, let me give you 2 bonus coaching thoughts as a parent. Here's what Mary Ruth and I tried to do. As we instructed our children, we instructed them on A, right relationships. And that's based on what Jesus said in Matthew 22. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, that's all of the right relationships condensed into a sentence. You see, the goal of God, and we would say it to our children over and over again, your life is your relationships. Hey, Jason, your life is your relationships, pal. Get that down in the center of your soul. That's what really counts. It's not how much money you make. It's not how good you are at athletics or music. Your life is your relationships, and you have just 3. You've got a relationship to God, your Creator and Savior. You've got a relationship to yourself, and you've got a relationship to the people about you. Get those relationships right, and you will be God's true success. Develop healthy, loving, functioning relationships. And then teach people that not only are they made in the image of God, but everybody they meet is made in the image of God. That's why we should treat every person with worth, value, dignity, and respect. That's why we have no room in the Christian family for prejudging people, but only including people, because everybody has been crafted of God, and they are His precious child. So we must teach our children to have right relationships to themselves and others. But lastly, let's also instruct our children about responsible stewardship. Responsible stewardship. We are living in a day of vast irresponsibility. People do not want to take responsibility for themselves or for others. So responsible stewardship is a key biblical concept. We would tell our children over and over again from Genesis 12:3, this is the Abrahamic covenant. You have been blessed to be a blessing. You see, we as a family, we have been blessed. You have been blessed. Have you been blessed to hoard your blessings and become obese upon them? No, you've been blessed to be a channel of blessings, to give out to others. That is the call of God. So we've said to our children, in this world of selfish takers, you are to be a Christ-like giver. You are to give back. You are to be a good steward, not only of your treasure, but also of your time, your talent. You're to be a good steward of your body, your mind, your soul. So explain to your children stewardship and the responsibility that we have, because one day, friends, it says in Matthew 25, Jesus speaking, one day you will give an accounting of how you have managed your life opportunities. And the last thing you want to hear is, be gone, you lazy, wicked servant who disobeyed me and disrespected me. No, what do you want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the eternal joy of your master. You see, we can make the difference as we leave a legacy by what we leave in our children and those we mentor. Here's the last word: God's directions, your selections. Now, here's the top selection. It's Joshua 24, verse 15. It's when Joshua said, as we started the service, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to invite every person here today to afresh and anew embrace God's call to you and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord together. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.